أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have the opportunity to continue with discussion on Surah Al-Munafiqun. This is the fourth and the last session on this surah. This year we have been granted four sessions at Jaffrey Center. Inshallah, our lectures will continue in other centers in the complex and also for Los Angeles. Please pray for us. So in the first three sessions, we discussed Surah Al-Munafiqun, introduction, Asbabun Nuzul. We also discussed ayat number one. In the second section, we discussed ayat 1 to 3 again. And last section, we discussed ayat number 4 to 8. But you can see again, we'll discuss ayat number 8 because we did not have much time to discuss number 8 in detail. And then inshallah, from 9 to 11, we'll complete the surah today. So let us look at ayat number 8 again, which we just started yesterday, but then we could not continue. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Yaquluna la'in raja'na ila al-madinati layukhrijanna al-a'azzu minha al-adhal. Walillahi al-izzati wa li rasulihi wa lil mu'minina walakinna al-munafiqina la ya'lamun. آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. It's quite interesting that this munafiqeen, led by their leader Abdullah ibn Ubay, they did not only talk ill about the Prophet and the Meccans who moved to Medina, Muhajireen, but they even said that when we go back to Medina, we are going to just expel and drive away these people of Makkah back to their place, right? So you can imagine his intention. He was not only influencing people of Medina to have a kind of disliking and hatred against Muhajireen and consider them as a liability, but his intention was that he would campaign to expel them. So he said, Yaquluna, that means he and his, because this is plural, Yaquluna, they say. That means Abdullah ibn Ubay and other Munafiqs. In raja'na ila al-madinati. When you go back to the city, the Medina, layukhrijanna al-azzu minha al-azzu. That means those who are strong and might are going to expel those who are weak. So you can imagine he considers himself, because he is part of people of Medina, he considers himself as somebody who is mighty, with strength and strong. No, and he calls other Muslims, especially Muhajirin, as adal, not those who are weak, those who are zaleel, right? So this is how he gives the labels. And this is the same thing today also. For example, when you find these so-called superpowers, when they put sanctions against Muslim countries, against Muslims leaders, right? They consider that they are more civilized, they are more dignified, and then they do all the kind of campaign against Muslims, right? So the same you can see terminology. They say, right? Those who are mighty and dignified are going to expel those who are no less of dignity, right? And those who are weak, right? But then Allah responses. Allah's response is in fact very harsh. But it's very good news for you and me. See what Allah says. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ عِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافَقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Subhanallah. Allah says, عِزَّةُ. It means might or dignity, right? And respect and reverence belongs to Allah. Wali Rasuli and to his messenger. Walil mu'minina, mu'minin, this is something very good. We are in the month of Ramadan, we are fasting. Sometimes we, especially because of lockdown, sometimes people feel down, right? See this thing, Allah says, walillahi izzatu wali rasuli wal mu'minina. Subhanallah, within the one verse, Allah says the might and dignity belongs to Allah, to his messenger, and to the believers. In other words, today in this verse, we are in line with the Prophet and Allah when it comes to that izzat, right? That might. Do you see? ولكن المنافقين لا يعلمون. But hypocrites will never understand this thing. These hypocrites, these superpowers, what they do, they don't understand this thing. So you can see here, there's a harsh response from the Holy Quran to the effect that the glory exclusively belongs to God Almighty, His Messenger, and the believers. Though the hypocrites are not aware of this thing. You can see it's quite harsh, right? Note that similar words were uttered by the chiefs of Quraysh in Mecca. When Prophet was in Mecca, at that time, those Meccans, the chief, they used to recite the similar words, that we are mighty, you are weak, and we are going to drive you away. So of course, Prophet did leave Mecca. But keep in mind, Prophet leaving Mecca was not that it was they had driven him, no. This was a plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wanted Rasulullah to go to Medina, establish himself right there, and then go to Mecca. And subhanAllah, this is exactly what happened. Within 8 years, Rasulullah was able to go back to Mecca. Not only go back to Mecca, go back to Mecca in huge number, right? And when they entered Mecca at the time of conquest of Mecca, there were 10,000 Muslims entering Mecca, and they conquered Mecca without shedding a single blood. Do you see, this is what Izzat is, right? So these Meccans used to believe that, no, we are going to just make Muslims go away and expel. No, they did not, right? The same kind of thing. And then if they pressured the poor Muslims who were few, you know, by economic sanctions, or if they expelled from Mecca, everything will go smoothly, right? That's what they used to believe. But that did not happen. So this is the same thing you can see now. Abdullah ibn Ubay and other hypocrites, they are also thinking that, no, the way Muhammad was driven away from Mecca, we are going to do the same thing. No, Prophet was not driven away. There was a plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Prophet, oh my Messenger, just go away to Medina. There are people who are going to welcome you. They will make you a leader, right? You'll establish yourself. You'll establish the Ummah. And that was the first Ummah. Today, the Ummah is 1.4 or 1.5 billion huge Ummah in the world, right? Every fifth person on this world is a Muslim. Do you see this thing? Did anybody dream? So this was the plan, right? So that's the kind to say, no? Such attitude regarding oneself being honorable and other as low is hypocritical and stems from arrogance and self-conceit on one hand and an imaginary independence before God Almighty Allah on the other. So these two things have gone. These hypocrites have got two qualities. One is that they are arrogant, right? Because of the arrogance, they consider themselves as honorable and consider others, especially Muslims, the believers, as somebody who is weak, right? They're trying to consider them as somebody who lacks dignity. No. And second thing, of course, they believe that they are independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Allah is all powerful. Allah will make things change. So, Mameen, as we are fasting in this lockdown, this is the second year. No, this is my last lecture today, as far as here is concerned with Jeffrey. My advice to you is that don't give up. No. These are all the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beautiful month. This is the month in which every hour is the best of the month. Every day is best of the days. Every night is the best of nights. The whole month is best of all the time, right? So keep this in mind. This is the best month. And as we are fasting, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's izzat is with us. No? So the more noble will expel the meaner from this in obey is reported to utter these words, arguing that he and his companions were morally superior and physically more powerful than the Prophet and his companions. And that's why he dared to say this. His own son, whose name was Ubaidullah. Ubaidullah is Abdullah, but a younger Abdullah, right? Like, for example, Hassan Hussein, right? Hassan is the name, means good. Hussein means Hassan also, but a younger Hassan. So Abdullah had his son whose name was Ubaidullah. But this Ubaidullah was a sincere Muslim. He told his father, what you are saying is not good things. You better apologize, because now Allah has quoted your saying and Allah is condemning the thing. But he refused to seek apology. And shortly after that, he died. You can imagine this was hypocrisy. So this completes the discussion on the hypocrites. We go now to the next verse. But before we do that, as usual, I would like to share with you a tip in the month of Ramadan. Because this is the month of Ramadan, let's discuss. And one thing, Mumineen, is that I know some of us work from home, so you have to wake up early in the morning and just log in to your work. I understand these things. But at the same time, Mu'mineen, especially seniors also. Some of us, for example, keep awake late, and then, you know, we don't wake up for sahari, or, you know, for example, wake up for namaz just before qaza. That's not the good practice. Let's try to adjust our timetable in such a way that sleep early, right? Once the program is over, just, for example, take something light, just go to sleep, wake up early, wake up for salat al-tahajjud. Wake up early. Let's say, for example, today namaz time was 4:59, yeah, just 1 minute to 5 o'clock, right, this morning. Tomorrow will be, for example, maybe, you know, 4:47, right, namaz time. So wake up at 4 a.m., wake up at, I'm talking of Toronto, 4 a.m. or 3:30 a.m., right? Get yourself ready for tahajjud salat, you know, for sahari, and also some dua. There are beautiful duas. There's a dua masterpiece, Mu'mineen, a dua which I would love to memorize after Holy Quran. You know? And that is dua Abu Hamza al-Sumali by Imam Sajjad al-Islam. It's a long dua. You don't need to recite the entire dua. No, just recite 1/5 or 1/6. No, recite it, for example, 1/7. Try to complete the dua over a week. It's a powerful, beautiful dua. Recite it with the meaning, right? So one of the duas which have been recommended for this, for the sari, I've just taken a few lines from that. These are so moving. And that's why I thought I'll share with you. See how the dua. This is not a complete dua. This is a passage from there, right? Ilahi, in kunta la tarhamu fi hadha shahr sharif, illa liman akhlasa laka fi siyamihi wa qiyamihi. Faman lil muzlim al muqassir, idha gharika fi bahri dhunubihi wa athani. My Allah, if you do not forgive in this honored month of Ramadan, except the one who has surely purified himself for you in his fasting and prayers, then who is there for the negligent sinner when he drowns in the sea of sins, right? So do you see this thing that we are trying to say to Allah that, Ya Allah, in this month you want sincerity from us, we realize. But we are only going to accept from those who are sincere. I am a sinner. I've got so many shortcomings. I've got so many flaws. I realize this thing. So Ya Allah, if you are going to concentrate in forgiving only those who are sincere servants and banda of yours, what about us who has got all this kind of shortcoming? You see, when kunta, now, ilahi in kunta la tarhamu illa al-muti'in faman al-asin. Ya Allah, if you are only going to have mercy on those who are obedient, so what about those who are disobedient? We are human beings. We have got shortcomings. We have got weak points. Sometimes we disobey. So Ya Allah, also forgive us. Don't just have your focus and mercy for those who are obedient, right? Then the dua says, وَإِنْ كُنْتَ لَا تَقْبَضُ إِلَّا مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ وَمَنِ الْمُكَسِّرِينَ. Oh Allah, if you are going to only accept the deeds of those who perform their deeds properly, right? What about those who perform the deeds, but maybe there is shortcomings, right? Maybe who fall short. For example, I fast. I would like to have the best of fast. When I say my prayers, I would like to say my prayers with all concentration. But shaitan comes. Some things come in my mind. Suddenly I get distracted. So Ya Allah, I realize that my ibadat, my prayers have some kind of shortcoming, but also have your mercy and also accept from us. Then it says, Ilahi, Rabbiya sa'imuna wa faza al-ka'imun wa najal mukhlisun wa nahnu abiduka al-muzribun. Allah, I know that you know, today are those, for example, my Allah, those who have fast have profited today. Those who have stayed up for prayers have won. And those who are sincere have succeeded. But we, Ya Allah, we are sinful servants, also have, look at us. Do you see? So this is a beautiful dua, Mu'mineen. Try to recite these short duas, you know, taught to us by Masumin. These are beautiful duas, and these are the right days. I guarantee you, if you recite this dua understandingly and talking to Allah, you will shed tears. And that's exactly what Allah wants. Once you shed tears, these are the sign of your acceptance, right? We pray to Allah that may Allah give us tawfiq to recite du'as with understanding. We go to next ayat in Surah Munafiqun. Now the subject changes. Up to now, the first 8 verses were talking about Munafiqeen and their characteristics. Now the ayat talks directly to the believers. Exactly like Surah Jummah. If you find Surah Jummah, first 9 verses, right? It talks about people and I'm talking about those who used to, for example, those Jews and others, right? They were talking, and of course, praise be to Allah, we start with tasbih and everything. But ayat number 9 begins with the Ayyuhalladhina amanu in Surah Jummah. It has 11 verses, but ayat number 9 talks to believers. Here also, now ayat number 9 talks to believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tulhikum amwalukum wala awladukum an dhikrillah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ Mumineen, trust me, this ayat is so beautiful. Try to memorize it. Keep this ayat just in front of your working table. It's so beautiful. It is such a good advice. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Let not your wealth and let not your children distracts you from what? From dhikr of Allah, an dhikrillah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ Whoever does like that, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ Allah says, whoever so does like this, they are indeed the one who are losers. So let us not lose, right? Let us, we are fasting, we are giving charity all the time. We try to be good to people. We send some food to the neighbors, right? We do all those things. But sometimes this wealth, which Allah has given us, sometimes the love of the children distract us. That should not happen. Since worldly possessions and children constitute reasons behind living this worldly life, the verse warns the believers against such excessive affection. So you can see, yes, it's good to have wealth and preserve it, take care of it, work hard to earn, there's nothing wrong with it, but don't have attachment to that. Don't be attached to your wealth, nor to your children. Yes, Allah has given us children. We love our children. Allah is the one who has put the love in our heart and affection for our children. But should not be excessive, such that you see your son, your daughter doing something haram, something wrong, not fasting, not praying, right? Disobeying, listening to things which are haram. And you don't say anything because out of love. No, that should not be the case, right? So you can see that's why this verse is so harsh. These are divine bounties which we need to use them for Allah's cause in attaining worldly happiness. Yes, when it is wealth or children, these are divine bounties Allah has given us. We are supposed to use them just to attain our happiness, but within the limits, right? It is a big loss when excessive affection for them distracts a believer from treading the true path. If we miss the true path just on account of having excessive affection to the wealth and children, there's a big loss. The remembrance here of Allah could refer to daily prayers or any wajibat or all kinds of obligations. There is a similar verse, right? Another verse says, وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُكَرِّبُكُمْ إِنَّ زُلْفَ إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَأَمِنَ صَالِحًا أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاءُ الضِّعْفِ بِمَا أَمِنُوا Right? This is Surah number 34, Surah Al-Sabah. Ayah number 37, Allah says, It is not your wealth, nor your sons, that will bring you near to us. وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا No, Zulfa, you cannot get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your wealth or through your children. No, no. What is going to... No. إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِنَ الصَّالِحَ Except the one who believes and performs the good deeds. Yes, you can use the wealth in doing what? In using it for charity. So that's a good deed. The charity will take you near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So, فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاءُ الدِّعْفِ بِمَا عَمِلُوا No, these are the ones for whom there is a multiplied reward on account of their due. Do you see? Aga Puya, Mahdi Puya, remember we discussed about him earlier. He says, all worldly goods are nothing but a passing cloud that casts a shadow, right? Running away with them. Real self-development needs correct faith and righteousness in daily life. Mumineen, let us struggle to have good deeds, right? Again, one ayat from Surah Al-Kahf, ayat number 46. And this is a very common ayat. Al-Malu wal-Banoon, Zinatul Hayati Dunya, Wal-Bakiyatul Salihatu, Khayrun inda Rabbika, Thawaban wa Khayrun Amala, right? Wealth and children are the adornment of this life. The zenith of this life is this wealth and children. Yes, if you're wealth, your children, people say, oh, mashallah, you got so many children, you got so much wealth. This gives you some kind of adornment and beauty, right? But Allah says, "Wal baqiyatu salihat," right? The deeds which are good deeds that endure, baqiyatu salihat. You know, for example, you give charity, you write something, you give a lecture which is going to stay for long, you write a book, right? Or you build a masjid or donate towards the masjid. These are bahtiyatus salihat, right? Those good deeds which are going to say, khairun inda rabbika, that is good with your Lord. Thawaban wa khairun amala. It is good in reward, and also it is good, you know, in being hopeful to receive all kind of reward in hereafter. We pray to Allah that may Allah give us the feet that we don't get distracted in this thing, right? We go to the next slide. Then ayat number 10 says, وَأَنْفِكُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ كَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَصَدَّكَ وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Again, beautiful ayat. I mean, when I was preparing for this tafsir, I realized no wonder that we have been asked to recite this every Friday. Because this, the first part contains about the characteristics of hypocrites, about whom we should be always be aware and careful, right? And just try to save ourselves from them. But the last three verses are the golden advice to us. Now see what this ayat says, Mumineen. Only if you're to forsake, وَأَنْفِكُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. You can see. Allah says, give, spend from what we have given you. Mumineen, every dollar which you and I have, every cent which you and I have, every pound which you and I have, every asset which you and I have, everything, whether even this clothing, whether this just cap, whether this ring, right? Everything which I have, Allah says, Mimma razaqnakum. This is what we have given you. We have given you this provision, right? The only thing which is not from Allah is something which is haram. If my money is earned from haram source, that is not from Allah, that's from shaitan, right? وَأَنْفِكُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Everything which we have is from the risk of Allah. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمْ الْمَوْتُ. Allah says, before that death comes to you, before death overtakes you, spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَكُولُوا رَبِّي لَوْ لَأَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Then Allah says, you will find a time would come when death visits me, and then I see all this are left, and now I'm living behind. I will say at that time, Rabbi, oh my Lord, لَوْ لَأَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Oh Allah, I wish you had just delayed my death for a day, for half a day, for a few days. Only why? فَصَدَّكَ وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Then I would use that opportunity, whether it is 1 week or 1 day or half a day or even an hour, Ya Allah, I would use that opportunity to do what? To give sadaqah, fasadaqah, akum min as-salihin, and be amongst those, right? I will give charity. Mumineen, why do we need that death to come to us? And then when we are at that state and come realization, no, that should not be. So any obligatory and recommended alms is hereby intended in this ayat, which may serve as a means of man's salvation in the hereafter. Keep in mind that every sadaqah we give is not wasted. It is an investment in the hereafter. And it also cleans, purifies our wealth, right? Before death comes to any of you, Allah says, makes a reference to person's encounter with death and the reflection of its effects. No, because at that time you will reflect what's happening. Since one may not utter such words posthumously, right? A person who is going to die is not going to utter this thing, but just a kind of realization. This is the technique of Quran. This is the style of Quran that how it teaches. It just makes us wonder and realize, right? We can see, right? We notice that that we leave behind all our worldly possessions and regret that we did not make any provision for such a long journey. At that time, we realize that no, I have not made any kind of provision for the hereafter. You know, when we see all the wealth leaving behind. So we ask to return to this world, even for a short while, to offer charity. But we will be denied such a return, since the divine decree makes it impossible to go back to the world, right? Story of a person, you know, there is a story which I'm sure all of us heard in the majalis, you know, but just a reminder because it is pertinent, right? It's relevant. There was a person who had given a wasiyat. He said that, no, when I die, you'll find there are so many sacks, you know, in my godown of dates, because that was a staple food in Arabia, right? You'll find that my godown is filled with so many sacks of dates, right? When I die, just give that in charity. So those, when the person died, those sacks all were given in charity. Prophet was informed about this thing. You know what Prophet did? Subhanallah. May our life be sacrificed. Be anta. Ummi ya Rasulullah. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you, O Messenger of Allah. You know what Prophet did? Prophet went to the same godown. What he found? He found that there were few dates there. Because now there were so many sacks of the dates that, you know, if few dates fall out, people don't worry, right? Even those people who are carrying, what will make few dates make difference when there were so many sacks? Prophet picked up those dates, few which were remaining there, which was only crushed, right? And he said, if this person had given this date in his lifetime, it would be more valuable and rewardable than all the sacks which he has given after his death. Do you see what I mean? So let us try to give something in our lifetime, as Quran says, قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِ أَحَدَكُمْ الْمَوْتَ, before the death comes to you, let us do this thing, right? The sixth Imam is a beautiful hadith. He says, Allah has not imposed anything more serious than zakat upon this nation. Zakat could be the wajib zakat, charity, sadaqah is all zakat. Even khums is part of zakat because this is all purification, right? The nation, and you eat, and due to eat, many of them shall perish. Imam says, you'll find that the Muslims are going to get perished on account of not paying zakat, or not paying charity, not paying alms in their lifetime. So, Mumineen, let us not wait. And Ramadan is the best time, right? In Ramadan, if you do something good, you get 70 times more. That is for wajib. Sunnah will be even more. And for example, not on Ramadan, we are told that when you want to give charity, and if it can wait, wait till Friday, right? But now we are not only in the month of Ramadan, every day is even better than Friday, because we were told that every hour is better than all other hours, right? Every day of this month is better than other months, every day, right? So tomorrow will be Friday, as well as, you know, of course, I'm just recording this on Thursday, but let's say a Friday in the month of Ramadan, and will be even better. So every Friday which comes the month of Ramadan, try to give charity as much as possible. Plan during the week. Talk about, you know, just inquire here and there, which are the good place to get charity, right? To give charity and do this thing. We go to the next verse. I've got now only 3 minutes and I will just end, inshallah, within time. The last verse, Allah says, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah says, no, the death, the respite will not be. Allah will never grant respite to anyone when the time has come. Wallahu khabirun bima ta'malun. Allah is fully aware of what you do. Reflecting that there are records available for reward and chastisement, and everyone should receive because Allah is aware of it. You should know. This ayat is reminding us that keep in mind that everything what we do, these are records with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me share one more ayat and end the discussion in the same words, right? In the same sense, in the same topic. No. This is ayat number 61, Surah Nahl, which is Surah number 16. وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Beautiful ayat. Mumineen, what a closing, subhanAllah. If Allah were to punish men for their wrongdoing, He would not leave on earth a single living creature. What Allah is trying to say, that if you and me were to be punished on account of our sins, we will be immediately perish, we will get destroyed. But what is happening? But He gives them respite for a stated term. Allah says, what? That walakin yakhirhum ila ajal musamma. Allah has decided that Hasnain is going to live a certain time, even if he commits sins, right? So Allah has given the time, just on account of that He has given time. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When the death time comes, when the term expires, there would not be delay to the punishment for a single hour, just as they would not be able to anticipate it for a single hour. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, these 4 presentations we have done in trying to understand Surah Al-Munafiqun, Ya Allah, You accept it. Ya Allah, give us the ability that we are able to, you know, give justice to this discussion of the Quran. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq that in the holy month of Ramadan, we are able to recite Quran regularly, we are able to understand the Quran, we are able to reflect on the Quran, and most important, Ya Allah, give us tawfiq in this holy month that we are able to implement the teachings of Quran as practiced by the Prophet in the Ahlul Bayt, wa salli ala Muhammad wa alihi tahirin, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala mu'minin. Please remember us in your du'as.